Marilee and I thought it would be nice if we could take advantage of the fact that I have a tape recorder to get you to tape some of your memoirs for posterity, starting from maybe when and where you were born and a little bit of your family background and going on up, maybe telling some interesting things about your childhood and when you met Daddy and your romance and so forth. And we can just let it go on from there. And anytime we want to interject or say something or ask you a question or, you know, it doesn't have to be an exact sequence. So, where and when were you born?
Well, I was born in Longmont, Colorado in 1881. And it happened to be a Sunday morning. And the story is told, my father being a minister of the Longmont Methodist Church, that he never got to church that Sunday because I was born and the congregation learned afterwards what had been happening. And then from there we went to a place called Idaho Springs, and there my brother was born. And then we went to a place in Colorado. Oh, well, that was in Colorado too, called Wheatridge. And my father was the minister of the Methodist Church there in Wheatridge. And he stayed 5 years at that time. The longest that a Methodist minister could stay at any one place was 5 years, if there was no objection to his being there, you know. And see, he stayed 5 years. We stayed 5 years in Wheatridge. And then he had a charge in East Denver. And there it was that a doctor discovered that my mother, instead of having conception, as they thought she had when my father married her and took her to Colorado, they found that she had valvular heart trouble and that she should immediately get to a low altitude. And my father was connected with the Denver University there as financial agent in Denver, and so he couldn't leave. And so my mother had to take Willie and me to Topeka, Kansas. And of course we were Methodists, and we went to the Methodist Church, and there my mother interviewed a real estate man as to where we could find a place to board until we got a house to live in. And he said, go to Mrs. Glasscock's boarding house. And so we went there, and the boys then, the two Glasscock boys, were 14 and 11 years old, I believe, and they had a cow which they milked and sold the milk around the neighborhood And so when they got home that night from selling the milk, their mother said to them, we have a new boarder and her two little girls sitting at the
meeting table. Not girls. One was
two children. And so Daddy said he looked in and saw this girl with long braids down her hair. And he was very much impressed. And so as soon as we found a house, we lived there in Topeka and went to church and Sunday school in the Methodist Church. And the boys used to come over and play with us where we lived. And then we finally left Topeka and went to, my father brought us here to California. And we lived in Boyle Heights. And it was there that my mother died in Boyle Heights and was buried in the Evergreen Cemetery there. And, but I wanted to say that when Rumor asked me to marry him when we got older, and he had come out to visit us here in California one time, he told me that the night that we left Topeka to come to California, he had gotten down on his knees and prayed to God that he would somehow arrange it so that he and I could get married. And that was part of his proposal to me. So, of course, when I heard that, I was so touched that I said, yes, right away. In fact, I was awfully glad to think someone did love me that much, because I was a very plain girl and not very popular. And to think that this one man had loved me all those years. So it was a very satisfactory union.
I just want to ask one thing. How long did you and your brother and mother live at the Glasscock boarding house?
Oh, I should say about 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And well, now what else did they?
There was quite a long period of time, wasn't there, that you and Daddy didn't see each other. Did you correspond?
Yes, we did. My mother was a friend of Daddy's mother, you know, and Daddy took his mother on a vacation to Ogden, Utah on his pass, and when he got home, he sent us some pictures.
By that time, he had gone to work for the Santa Fe Railroad.
Yes, he had worked for the Santa Fe Railroad. And so then I wrote and thanked him for the pictures, and that started a correspondence between Daddy and me, because I wrote and thanked him for the pictures of his vacation that he had sent us. And so later on, after my mother had died, Daddy decided to spend one of his vacations out here in California. And that was the time he proposed to me, you see. is it getting kind of mixed up?
No, we just have to ask questions and go back a little bit, like, how old were you when your mother died, and what happened after that?
Well, I was 14 when my mother died, and then I had to keep a house for my father and brother at that time, and it was a very, very bleak time for me, because I was in school, and I had to keep house and do all the cleaning and things. And then I'd come home from school, and the house would be empty, and just as I had left it in the morning. And it finally got on my nerves so that I almost had a nervous breakdown. But my father consulted the doctor, and he said what I needed was a companion to live with me. And so he knew a young girl by the name of Edith Hodgkins, whose mother was a widow, but she came from a very nice family, and she came to live with me for a while and got me over that tendency to have a nervous breakdown. And so then, to my great joy, my father became interested in three old maids who went to the Methodist Church when we went. And the custom at that time was, if you were interested in anyone, what you would do would be to ask to take home from church at night and walk home with them. And, of course, I had to tag along with my father when he was walking home with these prospective wives of his. And finally, I said to him one night, well, now, Daddy, if you want any of them, why don't you choose Miss Cook? She's the one I like the best. And so the next thing I knew, he was engaged to Miss Cook, and whom you all know as Inez, and they were finally married, but I never could call her mother, because it was too close to my own mother's death, and she was very happy about it, so I always called her Inez. And then 2 years after she had married my father, I got married to Wilmer and went away to live in Galveston, Texas. And Inez and my father had 2 children after I left home, and they were Mary and Ruth. And Mary was born in September after my first child was born, Richard. And Richard was my child, and then Mary was born later. I've forgotten what Ruth's relationship in age was to Lillian, But anyway.
I believe it was a little younger.
Those girls grew up as your cousins, you know. You grew up together as cousins.
Well, I just want to ask you one thing. Your mother died when you were 14, while you were living in Boyle Heights. How long was it before your father married this Miss Cook?
4 years. I was 18.
18, and then sometime during that period, after they were married, because I presume they were married in Boyle Heights.
Yes, they were.
Then you moved to Berkeley.
Yes, because the Lawrence Scovel Iron Company, whom my father was working as a bookkeeper for, moved up to San Francisco. And so, in fact, the wedding trip which my father and Ines had was the trip up to Berkeley.
And then you went to college.
Yes, and we all lived together. We had a three-bedroom house there in Berkeley on Milvia Street, and we had a very nice life together, but I never really finished college because Inez had a miscarriage during the last year that I was in college, and I had to stay home and keep house. And I was engaged to Wilmer by that time, and I never cared whether I got a teacher's certificate or not. And so, after we had lived in Berkeley 4 years, that was when I was 22 then, and I married Daddy. And we went to Galveston, Texas, to live. And
that was the 29th. That was the 9th of May.
Yes, that was the 9th of May when we were married.
And what year?
1904. Mm-hmm. Okay, now you're in Galveston, Texas. Tell us what your first reaction was.
Well, Galveston, Texas at that time, you know, Galveston is a city on an island right off of the coast of Texas, and it's in the Gulf of Mexico, and it's very hot there and moist, so moist that if we would go walking on the beach and come home and put our shoes beside the bed at night, they would be moldy the next morning.
It's still that way, too. It hasn't changed a bit.
No, but most of the houses are air-conditioned then. But at that time, we didn't have any way of cooling our houses, not even electric fans. And so everybody put shutters on their houses. And then at night, in order to get a little breath of fresh air, we opened those shutters. And in through those shutters would fly great big cockroaches, this long. Now, that's not any...
How long is this long? 2 inches?
Uh-huh, that long, with wings and feelers. And they'd crawl around the house, and we had to, at night, when we went to bed, there were so many mosquitoes in Galveston, too. We would have to... we had a mosquito net over our bed, and then when we'd get in, Daddy would kill all the mosquitoes he could find inside. And then we would tuck the net under the mattress and try to get some sleep. And I can remember distinctly when I would crawl out of that mosquito net, perhaps to go to the bathroom, the great big cockroaches would run out as soon as the light was turned on. And it was really a very hard place to live.
Oh,
I was glad I went there as a bride, because that was the happiest introduction I could have had to Galveston. But Daddy finally decided that he didn't want to be a railroad man all his life. And so he took a vacation out here to California and spotted an orange grove that was 20 acres and was for sale for $20,000. And we had a little money. We had bought a house in Galveston, and we could sell that house at a profit. And we put all that money into the orange grove. And this money, by the way, had been left by my grandfather, who had insisted that I be named Julia, you know. And that was the reason they named me Julia, because we knew we were going to inherit very from the old man. And so they named me Julia.
Now, that was your mother's father?
Yes, my mother's father.
What was his name?
And, well, his name was William Casey. And after my mother had died, he wanted to see his grandchildren, so he sent us money. And Will and I went on the train from Los Angeles to Centralia, Illinois, and visited him for a month, and then came home. And let's see.
Was that about the only time you ever saw him?
We didn't see him after that, no. And then he died. And then, after he had died, and we had inherited his money and used it, why, we didn't think that I needed any longer to carry the name Julia. And so nobody ever thought of me as Julia until I had to have a birth certificate. And then they discovered that my name, when I was baptized, was really Julia Ethel Musgrove. And that's why I go by the name of Julia now, because that's my Social Security name, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, going back to Galveston, how long did you live there, and how many children? Isn't that where your family started?
Yes, but Richard was born in the Galveston City Hospital, and Betty was born in our home that we had bought on 25th Street there in Galveston. And then Betty decided to make a plunge and buy this orange grove out here. And so he brought us all out on a pass, of course, the last pass he got from the Santa Fe. And then we had 10 very, very difficult years living on that orange grove.
That was in Rialto.
In Rialto, where there was no electricity and no nothing but a telephone of modern conveniences. And we had to light lamps every night for light. And I can remember one of the chores I had to do every day was to clean those lampshades, which maybe had smoked a little the night before, rub off the wicks, fill the lamps with kerosene, and get them ready for the next night. And then after we had lived on that ranch for 10 years, and Daddy finally realized that it was never going to pay for itself, because there would be freezes and hot winds that would knock all the oranges on the ground. So we finally gave up, and we were $400 in debt, but we gave the $400, we gave the ranch back to Mr. Duncan, from whom we had bought it, and moved down into the house, 301 North Riverside Avenue, where we lived for 20 years. And we got all, and Mr. Mack was so good to Daddy that he gave him a $50 raise in salary when he made that move. And and that two-story house with three bedrooms was a very nice home for us. And it was right on the corner of Riverside Avenue and 3rd Street, I think.
Well, now, going back to the ranch, you had some more children.
Oh, yes.
You were there.
And when did,
Lillian was
born. Lillian was born in, she was born out here in California.
Yeah, but the ranch was in Rialto.
Oh, yes, the ranch was in Rialto, that's right. And then in 7 years, Dorothy was born.
Now, she was born in 1908, I guess.
Lillian was born in 1908.
Yeah.
Richard was born in 1905, and you were born in 1915.
And Betty was born in
1907. So my childbearing age was 10 years. And after that, I had enough.
And
felt that I'd done my duty to the nation. And I've got some little things jotted down on my tablet at home, which I will look at.
Oh, I thought you brought it with you.
No, I didn't bring it with me. I didn't know you were going to have this. But
well, we can add to it any time.
Yes.
But I think this is a good, mm-hmm. A very good start. Well, Mama, we've gotten you from being born up to